So I'm going to continue the message series for this month. We've been doing, as you know, the whole first part of this year, we've been taking our mission statement, our new mission statement, encounter God, extend love, experience life. And this month, we're talking the whole month about experience life. And today, the message that I have for you, I know is from the heart of the Father. He's been giving it to me from multiple sources. You know when that happens? It comes to you from multiple places. And in addition to that, I shared part of this at the retreat that I spoke at 2 weeks ago. Thank you for allowing me to go and do that and be gone from here. But the ladies who were with me, you're going to hear part of this twice. But that's all right. Repetition is learning, is what they say in the education industry, field, whatever. Okay, so experience life. And the message for today is called Connect for Life. I think it's literally impossible to have the kind of life that God dreamed about us having and desires us to have without connection. And so we're going to talk about that. In Mark 12, 29 through 30, Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? Most of you are familiar with this. And he answered, the most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And as I read that a few weeks ago, it occurred to me the phrase, all your heart, is repeatedly used in Scripture. In fact, in the New Living Translation that I was looking in at the time, it's used 18 different times in Scripture. All your heart. And it's kind of cool because the phrase, all your heart, when it's used, all but one time it's used about God. And this is on your note page if you want to kind of notice that it helps to have it in front of you sometimes. The Bible tells us to search for God with all our heart, to love the Lord with all our heart, to serve the Lord with all our heart, to obey the Lord with all of our heart, to turn to the Lord with all of our heart, to worship the Lord with all of our heart, to trust the Lord with all of our heart, to rejoice with all of our heart, to do His will with all of our heart. There's only one time that all of our heart is used that's not about God, and that's a verse in, I think it's Peter, that says, love others with all your heart. And of course, Jesus followed up the verse I shared with saying, the second commandment is like unto this and as great, as equal to this, that is, love your neighbor as yourself. Remember that? And so there's something about wholehearted living that's important. Obviously, it's stressed over and over again. Recently, I came across some material by Dr. Brené Brown. How many of you have heard of her? Yeah, if you go online and go on YouTube and look her up, Brené, B-R-E-N-E, Brené Brown, Dr. Brené Brown, she's actually done extensive research in the sociology field. And what she did, I don't think she's a Christian to my knowledge. Her material isn't Christian per se, but it's all based on truth from the Scripture, right? And so she's done this extensive research on what wholehearted living looks like. And so I found it fascinating because if God tells us to love the Lord with all of our heart, what does that look like? What does wholehearted living look like, right? And when she set out to do this research, she didn't say, I'm going to figure out what wholehearted living looks like. She said, I want to do case studies. I want to interview thousands and thousands and thousands of people and figure out why some of them seem to have life and some of them don't have much of a life. Right? We're talking about experience life. So she did this research from that angle, right? What does life look like? And she found the overwhelming majority of people who live life to the fullest, like Jesus talked about, the element that she found in common was wholehearted living. And so she broke it down into three things that wholehearted living looks like. Props, love props, they're fun, right? And you gotta love these. I mean, they're just fun. The first thing that she found is that in order to live wholehearted, you have to have courage. You have to have courage. Now, she defined it for the purposes of sociology. She defined it as the confidence to tell the whole story of who you are. Strength to overcome fear of rejection and be authentically imperfect. Well, that's refreshing to me. I don't know about to you. I get tired of the perfect lives that I see. I just get weary of them, honestly. Because no one's life is really like that. To overcome fear of rejection and be authentically imperfect, to openly share flaws, strengths, struggles, joys, dreams, and fears. That's what it takes courage to live that way. It takes courage to live that way. I looked up the word courage in the Webster for Kids dictionary. And this is what it said. It said, to be willing to do something no matter what fear you feel or danger you face. I'm telling you, if we're going to live wholehearted, if we're going to live and love the Lord with all of our heart, if we're going to love others with all of our heart, it's going to take courage. That is the first building block that has to take place. We have to be willing to share our flaws, our weaknesses. Most people think that courage means I can point out what's wrong with you. That's not courage. That's deflecting. That's blame shifting. That doesn't take any courage. It doesn't take a brain surgeon either. There's no intelligence required. Anybody can find what's wrong with other people. Courage comes in when I can say, here's me and all of my brokenness. And the thing that we have to fight through is fear of rejection to do that. But you see, if we know we're fully loved by the Father, we can face that fear of rejection. We can deal with it. Because all of my validation comes from the right place, the perfect lover of my soul, the one who fights my battles. I loved that song. The one who fights my battles for me. Joshua 1:6 says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. The phrase be strong and courageous is found 12 times in Scripture. Obviously, it's something that's important. I found out this week, this was so interesting. Joshua and Caleb, you know, the only two out of over 2 million who left Egypt and went into the desert, the only two who made it into the promised land, you know what the Bible tells us why they made it into the promised land? I think it's in Numbers 32:12. God said, the only two who made it into the promised land, the reason they did is because they followed me wholeheartedly. Isn't that interesting? It takes courage. It takes courage to do that. I tell you, I am so convinced that many of us, we can't even be courageous enough to go to our Heavenly Father and be real with Him. We're still hiding like Adam and Eve in the bushes. And God comes out and says, where are you? As if He didn't know. Where are you? You know, He longs for us to come to Him in our authentic, imperfect self and say, here I am. And He goes, you're perfect. You're perfect. I love you so much. You bring delight to my heart. Be strong, be courageous. Be courageous enough to be real with me and then be courageous enough to be real with the people around you. Takes courage. It takes courage. The second element of wholehearted living is compassion. Compassion. You see, when you get courageous enough to be authentic, it brings compassion into your heart. Compassion, for our purposes today, is defined as to be kind to yourself and others. Sometimes we are our worst critics. Like, So what, you made a mistake? The world is not going to come to an end. It's not, you know? Lots of people before you have made mistakes, and lots of people after you will make mistakes. Big whoop. We just have to be kind to ourselves. And when we can learn to be authentically imperfect with each other, with God, then we can be kind to ourselves. Because you see, it's safe. It's safe to be kind then. Because the whole world doesn't fall apart if I've messed up. It's okay. And then when I figure that out, I can go, oh, the whole world's not going to fall apart when you mess up. And we can have kindness, compassion between us. In Matthew 9:36, it says, when he saw the crowds, talking of Jesus, he had compassion on them. Let's pause there. The word compassion in the original Greek, it's a fun one to say, splagnizomai. Splagnizomai. That's fun, isn't it? Some of you just really want to try to say it. Splagnizomai. Splagnizomai. What it actually means is to feel compassion, to feel love and empathy in your gut. Another word for bowels. To feel love and empathy in your gut. Have you ever looked at someone and you just felt such compassion for them? A few years ago, I woke up on a Saturday morning to the sound of screams at like 6:30 in the morning. I mean, I thought it was kids being silly because they were like, no, nah! Like, I thought they were just carrying on. It was like 6 or 6:30 in the morning, it was early. And I listened to it for a few minutes. I'm like, well, they'll be fine. They're just goofing around, whatever, they're kids. And then I recognized there wasn't something right. And I look out my window in my undignified state because I was mad, you know. How dare you wake me up on the only day I can sleep in. And I look through the blinds, and the house across the street was engulfed in flames. And there were two girls, one was a teenager, one was a 20-year-old, who were screaming and carrying on because their friend was still in the house. And this compassion just rose up in me that I can't even describe. So I threw on some clothes as fast as I could. I called 911, of course, and threw on some clothes and ran outside. And the older girl was running around trying to figure out how to get back in. And the younger girl was saying, no, they were sisters. And she was going, no, don't go in there. You're going to die. You can't go in there. So that's what the screaming was. And so the 20-year-old was running around, and the 17-year-old was just sitting on the grass holding a little puppy and just in shock. And I walked over to her and I just started bawling. Like, it came up from me, like I just started bawling to see this little girl, you know, that was my age, the ages of my sons. And she was just overwhelmed. And I ran and got a blanket and got some bottled water. But I don't know if I've ever had that kind of compassion well up in me like that. I had no control over it. It just came from somewhere deep inside, and I just felt so much love for her, this stranger. And all I could say was, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She was like, is my friend okay? Is my friend coming out? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't want to lie and say, yeah, she's fine. Because that would mess her up, you know? I was like, I don't know. They're going to be here soon. The firemen are on their way. The friend actually did pass away. But I stayed in contact with them for a few months because my heart just found itself connected to them. That's what Jesus felt when he saw people. He saw our miserable state. And he was like, oh, I feel this thing in my gut well up and I can't change it. It's just overwhelming me. He felt compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We see it again in Matthew 14:14. We see it many times with Jesus, but I picked out two. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. To be kind to yourself and others. it would have been easier for me, honestly, to close my blinds and pretend it wasn't happening, to close my ears. Like, I don't need another painful situation in my life. I have enough of my own. You hear me? But compassion says, no, I'm going to use this opportunity to be kind to someone I don't know because they need it. They need love right now poured out on them. I prayed with her and her sister. You know, you need, when you see someone's misery, when you see their need, something happens inside of you. When you see your own need, when you see your own misery, something happens where kindness can well up in you. And it comes from the Spirit. It doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from the Spirit. That's a key part of wholehearted living. You need to have the courage to admit your imperfections, and then you need to have compassion to be kind to yourself and others. Another part of wholehearted living that brings life is connection. Connection. And connection is pretty simple. It's closeness with others created by authenticity and vulnerability. That's on your note page if you want to just refer to it so you don't have to write it all down. Unless you're like me, you write it down to remember it. Closeness with others created by authenticity and vulnerability. Now, vulnerability has gotten a bad rap in our world, I think. The word vulnerability has a pretty negative connotation, doesn't it? It's like, I don't want to be vulnerable because then I'm open to be hurt. I'm open to be damaged. But connection is impossible without vulnerability. It's actually completely impossible without vulnerability. If I can't be honest with you on who I am, if I can't be kind to myself and others, and then create a connection with you based on that, there's really no hope of wholehearted living. We live with part of our heart. And if we can't live wholehearted, how can we possibly love the Lord our God with all of our heart? How can we possibly love others with all of our heart? It's not possible without it. That's one thing I love about our connect groups. That's why we call them connect groups, because they're an opportunity. Sunday morning really is an opportunity to be vulnerable with each other. Like, how are you doing? Well, my life reeks right now. Have a good day. Like, that's not, you know, it doesn't work in this setting. Let's go worship together. Don't get me wrong. I've worshiped through some reeky parts of my life. But Sunday morning is not really the opportunity to have that kind of vulnerability and connection. It's just not. But connect groups, you can be real with each other. You get the holy, holy opportunity. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, you get the holy opportunity to say, I am really struggling with this right now. I need some prayer. I need some additional support. I need someone to tell me it's going to be okay. I need someone to tell me I'm going to get through this. And that requires so much courage. It requires so much compassion. But when it happens, oh, it's a beautiful thing. One thing I love about our connect groups, when I hear somebody's in the hospital or in need or whatever, our connect groups are like the white blood cells that rush to the site. Whoosh! You guys have poured out your love on Dave so beautifully after he announced to us last week what he said. Like, it's been beautiful. I have people calling me and texting me, how is he doing? I'm praying for him. People contact him on Facebook, I'm praying for you. Like, do you know how beautiful that is? That's such a connection that's created that we can strengthen one another. And that's what Jesus talks about. And that's what the apostles talk about. Like, iron sharpens iron. Like, that happens through connection. Now, here is the crazy part. Well, let me read this first. Colossians 2:2. I love this passage Paul wrote. He said, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. When I think of the word connection, I think of the words knit together. Like the color of my piece of yarn is a different color than yours. It might even be a different fabric. But when we get knit together, there's something that's beautiful that's created. If we fight against it, it's impossible to live wholehearted. Vulnerability is an interesting thing because in the study that I did, this is not part of your notes, this is an extra bonus. What I learned was unless you're willing to live authentically with each other and with God, what you tend to do is get rid of vulnerability by numbing your emotions. That's one of the ways. By numbing your emotions. And what she found was very interesting. Did you know you can't selectively numb just bad emotions? When you numb emotions, you numb them all. Doesn't that make sense? So if you're struggling because you feel like you're flat, do you ever feel flat? Like, I don't really experience joy. I don't really experience deep sorrow. Just somewhere in between, like just flat. That's because you've probably been numbing your emotions. And when you numb your emotions, you numb them all. Paul says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. Remember a few weeks ago, I talked about the closeness equation. If you weren't here, it's really simple. It'll be up on the screen here. The way you get closeness, the way you get connection with people is time plus honor plus transparency. And that equals deep love. That equals connection. Time is obvious. Spend time together. Honor is where you show kindness to them. It's where you make a decision to look at and value their strengths without tripping over their weaknesses. That's what it means. And then transparency is being authentic. It's vulnerability. It's connection. If you want to be connected, that's what's required. If you want to be an island, you can be an island. You just take any one of these things out. Well, I can't be courageous. Whole thing falls apart without courage. It cannot happen without courage. Connection can't happen without kindness, compassion. It can't happen. But here's the amazing part. In her research, what she found was several things are actually born from wholeheartedness. They're birthed in wholeheartedness. One of them is passion. Passion. That's enough reason to fight through and be courageous, isn't it? Because all of us want to live passionately. But we try to do it strategically. Well, I'll be passionate about this, but I won't be passionate about that. And then we're not real, you know? You know what else is birthed in wholehearted living? I'm having so much fun with these building blocks. I'm just saying. This is a fun thing to do. Creativity. She said it's so funny because these corporations, they call her in, this Dr. Brené Brown, they call her in and they go, we know that you do this whole thing about vulnerability, but we don't want you to talk about that. We want you to talk about passion and creativity. And she's like, that's impossible. If you're not willing to deal with vulnerability, you can't have passion and creativity. They go, well, let's just talk about innovation. You know, the ability to create new things that are needed, innovation. She goes, yeah, not going to happen without wholehearted living. Whole thing falls apart. I'm not going to do it, but the whole thing falls apart. It can't happen. I added some more just for fun because as I thought about it, I think freedom comes in wholehearted living. When I'm with people that I know will love me no matter what yucky things they see on me or in me. There is a freedom that comes in that. And then there's also joy. There's joy. We could add more. but there's joy. All that is birthed in wholehearted living. Some of you are like, I am afraid. I am afraid. I can't think like that. Because if I do, I'm going to get hurt like I was hurt before by this person. And you know what? I am so glad that you recognize that. Because until we recognize that wounds keep us from opening up, Jesus can't heal those wounds. But the moment we recognize, I have this wound that keeps me from opening up and being real, the moment we acknowledge it, hallelujah, Jesus can heal. Yes. How many brave people do we have who will stand up and say, I have a wound that needs to be healed today? Anybody standing up for that? Over here, awesome. Anybody else over here? Your wound could be from the Lord. Maybe he let you down in a time when you thought he wasn't there and he should have been there because he didn't come across the way that you thought he should be. Hey, it's all right to admit you're disappointed with God. I've been there. I've had some screaming in my car. Until we are real with him, he can't heal us. Anybody else? Just stretch your hands towards everybody who stood up. God, I thank you for the courage in this room right now. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the great physician. You are the great healer. That every wound that was ever committed against us, you suffered when you were on the cross so that you could bring healing to us. And Lord, I pray right now for a supernatural healing to take place in every person who is standing. A supernatural healing that they will find themselves so healed up that they are willing to risk opening their hearts again. I thank you for the ability, the opportunity to be authentic with you and with each other. And I just ask for your healing to flow through every single person who's standing. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now, just give these people a hug after church, because sometimes you just need to know. After you've been courageous, sometimes you get like, I cannot believe I did that. Have you ever done that before? Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe. I've done that so many times after preaching. I can't believe I said that. That was just a little too real. So just give them a hug after church. You don't have to give them counseling. Just give them a hug. That's it. Just love on them. If they want prayer, welcome that, of course. I have this thing inside of me that I know that we can't encounter God. We can't extend love and we can't experience life as God intends until we get this piece figured out. Wholehearted living. I just think it's impossible. And so I think God is doing something in our hearts. It's so funny. I preached on it at the retreat a few weeks ago. Like I said, I'm listening to this message from this past Sunday night by one of the people I listened to. Her whole message is on vulnerability. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, Lord, coming through loud and clear, you know? So I know God wants to do something in his kingdom at large. It's bigger than us. It's bigger. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these precious people. I can just see their open-heartedness in their eyes. I thank you for that. And I just pray a blessing over every single person who came today, over the kids in the back, the preschool and the elementary age, that we will begin to walk in a greater fullness of understanding of what wholehearted living looks like, so that we can love you well and love others well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week, and remember to take your cards, and the love offering basket is for Dave back there. Have a great week. Love you guys.